You're listening to KUSF San Francisco, 90.3 FM, and we've been hearing music by Gordon Mumma. This is music from Venezia Space Theater from 1964. It's from his album Studio Retrospect. Before this was Sudden Infant with Slow Mono, a remix by Zev from his 2008 album Psychotic Einzelkind, released by Blossoming Noise. And before that, two heavy rock tracks, one from Necrosov. That was Demand from their split CD with Humiliation, released by New Scream Industry. And starting out that set was Child Abuse with Hold This from their new album, Cut and Run, released by Love Pump. Right now I've got in the studio with me Aaron Zim and Jeremiah Moore from Bay Area Sound Ecology. Can you hear me, guys?
Hey.
Hey.
I can hear you. That's good.
All right.
So you're on the show to talk about this performance that you've got coming up this Sunday, the 13th. It's part of Project Soundwave's Green Sound Festival.
That's right.
And that's at Yerba Buena Gardens.
That's right.
Do you want to tell us a little bit more about what you got going on?
Sure. Jeremiah and I are here, I suppose, in our capacity as co-chairs of Bay Area Sound Ecology, a.k.a. BASE, which is the newest chapter of the American Society for Acoustic Ecology, which is in turn a member organization in the World Forum for Acoustic Ecology. And kind of like the New York chapter, the Bay Area chapter is sort of got a broader purview, I would say, than the traditional acoustic ecology. We're interested in things that extend into, I guess, a more performative or musical aspect. And when we saw the call for proposal from the latest Soundwave 4 festival from Mediate, we've been looking for ways that we could make Bay Area Sound Ecology more active, and this seemed a perfect opportunity to sort of bring the sorts of things that we're interested in, which is the interdisciplinary listening, I guess, to the fore and have sort of a more public profile. We've been running salons called BASEBOT. I think we've had four or five now that usually feature someone who works with sound from one discipline or another.
I think there have been six.
Six now? Actually. Yeah. And but this is kind of taking it out of the salon context and doing something a little more public-facing. And so the theme for this year's Soundwave Festival is Green Sound. And we brainstormed for ways that we could consider the landscape of San Francisco, or rather the soundscape of San Francisco, through that lens. And with that in mind, we ended up deciding to do a sort of a green space proposal, that is to go into one of the city parks and literally be surrounded by green space and work with the soundscape there. And the conception, we're ending up doing the event down at Yerba Buena Gardens, which is a really interesting space. And one of the reasons we chose it was not only is it centrally located and sort of a lovely little quiet refuge from surrounding urban density of downtown San Francisco, but it also has a very interesting and complicated history and potentially a interesting future. So the event name that we chose was Phantom Power. And with an allusion, of course, to the powering of condenser microphones, but
For the audio geeks out there.
Yes, exactly. But specifically with the idea of evoking phantom soundscapes. So not only the tangible, literal soundscape that exists down at Yerba Buena Gardens now, but these phantom soundscapes that are sort of always hovering right on the edge of perception or possibility. And with that sort of conceit, we opened up... We did sort of a small informal call for proposal and talked to a couple different people. And Jeremiah, do you want to talk about like the different people who actually ended up
To that, can you say briefly what it is that these sound artists are going to be doing? Like in a nutshell, what is the concept of what you're doing there?
So the event was conceived as an overlay to the existing soundscape. So, you know, we wanted to use a public space, I think, for a couple of reasons. One is, of course, that it's a it's open to people to come and participate in as a public space, as a it's very democratic.
Mm-hmm.
By way of for a couple of reasons. One is an issue of simplicity, and the other is an issue of wanting to sort of involve people. We arrived at the idea of a boombox sort of cloud of sound approach. Every time I bring this up, somebody mentions
Phil Klein's On Silent Night.
Or? Well, no, somebody mentions, what's the band?
Flaming Lips.
Yeah.
And their four-channel, like their four-channel
right,
album.
Right, right. People are like, oh, that. I'm like, okay, yeah, people are aware of that a lot through that.
Crowdsourced piece. Amplification.
A lot of people have done that. Like Greg Kowalski did that last night.
Yeah.
Up at Battery Townsley, also part of the Soundwave Fest.
Right. It's a way of like distributing a bunch of loudspeakers through space. And it also sort of solves some issues of, we want to do something in a public park, but it's very hard to get permitted to do a PA system, and it's expensive and blah, blah, blah.
And bulky.
So and kind of, it's actually seemed to fit perfectly with our interests and, trying to do a piece this way. So basically, maybe we can paint a quick picture of the anticipated evening for the listeners. I think, you can imagine arriving at Yerba Buena Gardens, and there's a bunch of people kind of in one area with a number of whom have little portable personal stereo systems and either iPod or CDR sourced soundtracks, and there's some instructions from one of the composers, okay, this group over here is going to play track A, and this group over here is going to play track B, and we start, and there's going to be some, one of the pieces involves movement through the park in a certain prescribed way, and another piece involves movement, my piece involves movement through the park in a different way, just sort of a circumambulation of the space, and the third piece is going to be an array of boomboxes spread over sort of a space. They're going to be more fixed in location, but representing different areas of different bioregions of California in sound. So
it's many different pieces playing at once.
There's going to be
like a multi-channel
pieces.
Piece.
There's going to be three pieces, but they're not happening at the same time.
It's in like the dispersed boombox stuff. That's like different stuff playing on every one.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So so our artists are Andrea Williams and Bernie Krause and myself, Jeremiah Moore. Andrea's piece is a four-track piece. So she has four discrete channels of audio that she's produced, and there's going to be, they're color-coded, and audience members are going to be handed a score, which is a very simple, like basically a one-sentence instruction at a certain point in the piece to do a certain action. And I'm trying not to give it away.
Uh-huh.
But I promise to give it away to anyone who wants to hit us up on our Facebook event page. I'm trying to work the social media here.
Yeah, go for it.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah.
So,
nothing wrong with radio, though.
Andrea's piece is, radio is where it's at. It's personal. It goes right into your ear.
Speaking of the radios, are you playing these pieces off of CDs, or is it synchronized somehow?
I think the two approaches, the obvious approaches would be either some like a micro broadcast scenario or a
distributed media.
Yeah, I guess a distributed media approach. So we're going with the distributed media approach. So what we're doing is we're posting, in fact, last night I posted 7 MP3 files. You can go to basoundecology.org and get them. There are four of them are Andrea's tracks, and three of them are my tracks. And then
Bernie's will go up later today.
And there'll also be CDRs available at the event.
Uh-huh.
So for people who have CD capable players, so we'll do like a finger sync, sort of like, okay, the people with, you know, the pieces are designed at least. Well, we'll have to figure out what how Bernie's piece is going to go. Maybe you can talk about that, but Aaron, but the Andrea's piece and my piece are both going to be like, okay, everybody, and press play.
Uh-huh.
And then for the next 15 minutes, the piece plays out, you know, all in sync, but playing from
loose
different
sync.
In loose sync and loose playing sync. From different sources.
And that'll be kind of an interesting element of it too.
Yeah.
It'd be some like a 30 tap delay going on.
Exactly.
And I think processed through all the different playback systems, it'll affect the sound quite a lot too.
And then with different space introduced delays and echoes and
like a boombox, a bunch of boomboxes being physically moved through space is a kind of filtering system that would take a year to program in DSP. It's very sophisticated in terms of spatiality, and I think it would be. I'm looking forward to the experience of hearing it.
I think what you give up in control, you more than gain back in richness and timbral complexity. And I'm a huge fan of serendipity wherever it has an opportunity to creep in. And this whole approach is sort of predicated on the joys and pleasures of serendipity. And there's going to be a large serendipitous element in the whole evening, which is just what's going on that day. What are the ambient conditions like? Are we going to be hearing foghorns? Are we going to be hearing the Blue Angels overflying? Are we going to be hearing the bells ringing in the church that overlooks the gardens? Incidentally, for anyone who doesn't know, Yerba Buena Gardens is that green space sort of tucked between Yerba Buena, the arts facility, and the Metreon. So if you've been to the Metreon and then wandered a little bit further, I guess, northeast, there's that green space. And
right. Or if you walk out of the SF MoMA and across the street.
Exactly. And incidentally, I alluded to its sort of complicated history. And for anyone who, like myself, wasn't born in San Francisco, you might not be aware that the area that is now the Yerba Buena Gardens Complex, and I think Moscone Center and some of the other large civic institutions in that vicinity, was once sort of like very dense, what today would possibly be called low-income housing, sort of not unlike the Tenderloin. And it was sort of seized by, I guess, eminent domain. And there was a huge political and social battle over that seizing and the raising of what had been sort of like a very dense, thriving, rich neighborhood and its conversion into now these civic institutions, some of which may or may not be at one time or another give the impression of being somewhat ossified and monolithic. And that was incidentally just something that I really liked about when Jeremiah and I were casting around and looking at different spaces we might use. I became very enamored of the idea of working in Yerba Buena Gardens, partly because that space is literally overshadowed on multiple sides by these very large, very brick and mortar institutions of the San Francisco art community. And the idea of doing something there that was sort of very guerrilla, hit and run, dynamic, crowdsourced, to use that phrase again, using a minimal amount of infrastructure and relatively cheap technology to make a sort of contemporary art experience in the very shadow of these institutions that have extremely large budgets, with very rare exception, which Jeremiah can speak to having worked at Yerba Buena earlier this year, very rarely trickles down into the hands of sort of like the indigenous arts community, at least as I know it.
So in these soundscapes that you're going to be playing there, you're doing things to evoke the past of the space, like before the urban renewal?
I think that we sort of, in the call for proposal or when we were discussing this with different composers, we sort of said that the door was wide open, and the phantoms that we were imagining, these phantom soundscapes, did include both the historical but also potential or alternative soundscapes.
Uh-huh.
If you've seen that wonderful mural that's on, Church and 17th that shows sort of both the past and potential future of Market Street, that I was sort of had that somewhere in the back of my mind, this idea that the moment that we're all going to be co-inhabiting down at Yerba Buena with this juxtaposition of our sound onto the sound actually there is just one Yerba Buena Gardens. And all, there was this other, that space would have been very different had the particular, you know, historical evolution that did take place there not taken place. And that was something that I thought was potentially interesting. How would the space sound today if it was still something like the Tenderloin or had become some evolution thereof? What would it be in a post-human world, you know, like thousands of years in the future? What would it be if...
Which, in a way, Bernie's piece might speak to that.
Exactly, and I think that's the direction that Bernie...
Here's what California sounds like without people, because these are, you know, Bernie's sounds are... we could get into how difficult it is to make a sound recording without human introduced sounds being part of it. But Bernie is dedicated to that craft and has given us a handful of special recordings which represent that.
Handful only in the context of his own vast, vast and probably unequaled library of natural soundscape. For anyone who doesn't know, which I suspect outside, I think of Bernie as a superstar, and in the domains that Jeremiah and I work in, he is in fact a superstar, but it's probably not a name that's familiar to many listeners. But he's a California resident soundscape composer and field recordist par excellence who's been working now for, what, like 25 years collecting?
What is his bio here says that he was beginning in the late 60s.
Right.
So whatever that is.
And in one of our conversations with him, he mentioned the fact that he was the first person to take, given prototype digital recording gear back when it was being recorded on, what, like Betacam cassettes
or
something?
Yeah, the Sony F1.
And, right, and
the
he
Sony
went,
F1. He there went are a few to, of those
like, Wyoming. I think somewhere in Wyoming, he like actually carted it out, and you can just imagine the battery arrays that they had to use to do the very first digital sound recordings in the field. But the caliber of his work is really extraordinary. And I think his URL, like the URL for his website, if you just want to get a taste of the caliber of his work, is wildsanctuary.org?
.com. Wildsanctuary.com.
Right. Yeah. And where you can also find links to his Wild blog and also to the Wild store, where you can preview a lot of I think he's got something like 36 different soundscape albums you can get up there. But it's funny that Jeremiah mentions that his piece is a view into what this area or Yerba Buena might have sounded like, or in fact the San Francisco, Northern California as a whole might have sounded like without humanity, because just to give you a little bit of a foreshadowing, like sort of like the core conception of his work is actually meant to reflect or evoke exactly the opposite thing, which is what's happening to those soundscapes that are so hard to find because we are here. Because we are here. So if you want to find out, well, come on Sunday. I don't think we've actually said this. So this event that we're talking about, Phantom Power, part of the Soundwave Festival, is this coming Sunday, like 6 days from now.
This Sunday, what month is it?
June,
thank you.
June 13th.
June 13th. Yes. At 7 p.m. It's free, and you can just... Show up, have a picnic at 6 and
stick around,
hang around,
right?
And they should bring a boombox if they can, right?
If you still have one, you might remember, if you've seen these things, they look like vinyl, but they're reflective. What are those called again? Compact? They're not very compact, like compact flat.
The
discs.
Disc that was once compact.
Yes, the disc that was once considered compact. If you still have a dust covered, you know, sort of battery hungry. Yeah, CDR right. Playing boombox, then please bring it. If you have an MP, some sort of portable audio setup, like little speakers that attach to your Zune or what have you, then just visit Bay Area's Sound Ecology's website, and where you can download tracks for these pieces to contribute and participate in each of the three pieces that we're going to be doing. If you just download those and are ready to play them, we'll just give you instructions before each piece.
Mm-hmm. All right. How about we hear a little sample of some of the stuff we're going to be hearing at the performance?
That sounds great.
I'll play a little bit of your piece, Jeremiah. Do you want to say something about it before I get that going?
Sure. So maybe I could briefly outline the three pieces. Bernie's piece we just discussed, it's Soundscapes of California, generally without human sound as part of the recorded material. The piece by Andrea Williams is going to reference the history of Yerba Buena Gardens and the neighborhood, basically. Her piece is referencing the history of the conversion from a tenement neighborhood to what it is now, which is a cultural, Aaron used the word ossified. It's a lot of things right now. It's a wonderful urban park in addition to being perhaps an agent of gentrification in a city that's gentrifying. And my piece is, I suppose, a preachy ecological narrative. I don't know how much more to say. No, I should say a little bit, because I think you're going to fade up maybe at about 2 or 3 minutes into the piece.
Mm-hmm.
There's a mechanical, repetitive sound that you'll hear, and I want people to know that that's the sound of oil extraction equipment operating. I'm taking a little license here to put that sound in San Francisco, but it's the sound of oil field equipment that I recorded and couldn't bear to wait any longer to use.
All right. Any other words about the piece or...
Yeah, it has a moment of bicycle utopia.
Bicycle utopia.
In it, but it occurs later.
All right. Well, let's hear a little bit of it right now. What's the title of the piece?
The piece is called Cycles.
All right, here you go. Cycles. This is KUSF San Francisco, and we're listening right now to Cycles by Jeremiah Moore, who's in the studio with me, along with Aaron Zim, and we're talking about their upcoming performance, Phantom Power, at Yerba Buena Gardens this Sunday the 13th at 7 p.m.
I neglected to mention that the piece that you've been listening to is encoded in Dolby Surround, so if you happen to have your radio receiver hooked up to a Dolby Pro Logic decoder and a 5.1 sound system, you could engage that decoder in cinema mode, and you'll hear a surround sound experience of the three-channel audio piece. It's actually six-channel, three stereo pairs audio piece that's playing.
Are you going to be doing anything with that at the performance?
So, well, at the performance, the surround aspect of it will be by nature of the sound being played in three separate program streams. What you're hearing now is a composite stream of the A, B, and the C masters.
Uh-huh.
That's composited and panned into a 3D sound space through Dolby Matrix. But in the boombox SoundCloud concert, Sunday, you're going to hear discrete surround by nature of a whole bunch of boomboxes playing it in 3D space around you,
mm-hmm.
which I'm really excited to hear. So no Dolby. We don't need Dolby in real space.
That's
no,
right.
Unnecessary.
We got boomboxes.
That's right. Hi-fi, lo-fi.
Incidentally, just at the top of our discussion, I alluded to one of the inspirations for this whole SoundCloud approach, but just to give a shout out to Phil Klein and the Unsilent Night. If you've never done that event, it's highly recommended. I'm not even sure if anyone officially owns it for San Francisco, but the idea is on the evening of winter solstice, you gather in Dolores Park, and similar to what we're doing this coming Sunday, media is distributed on CD, comprising a multi-channel soundscape that evokes all sorts of winter cheer. And then once everyone has loaded those in a bunch of boomboxes and other portable audio equipment, everyone presses play and then processes as an impromptu guerrilla parade through the Castro and Mission, favoring, you know, back alleys and creating this wondrous cacophony of sound. And the experience of walking along, listening to all of the different phasing relationships, both temporal and timbral, as the different boomboxes are oriented in space in different ways and pointed more or less away from you. It's really a magical sound experience and kind of unique. And I think that's a wonderful technique for presentation of socially experienced listening.
And an inspiration.
Sure. Speaking of the social experience of listening, Jeremiah, you wanted to say something about bass?
I wanted to say just a word about what we're trying to accomplish with Bay Area Sound Ecology. which is, I think we've been at it for a couple of years, and we do things sporadically. We've done this series of listening salons. You can find out about them at basoundecology.org.
And in fact, download and listen to most of the ones that we've held, I think.
That's right. In fact, all but the most recent, which is, awaits editing and mixing on one of my hard drives. But at basoundecology.org, you can find podcasts of all of our listening salons to date. But I think what I wanted to say that we're trying to accomplish with BASE is, I think both Aaron and I and a number of other people are just interested in listening generally and promoting listening, and this arose as a desire to be social about listening and promote listening and promote social occurrences for listening, which is what this event is upcoming on Sunday.
Yeah, my two-year-old goes to a class called Music Together, and I think a lot of what BASE is interested in doing is listening together. And just as one can make music oneself, but it's a whole different experience to do it in an ensemble, even an informal one or a jam or a drum circle or something, listening too, for those of you who have never done it together intentionally, can be quite a novel experience. Of course, everyone, I think, listening has had that experience going out and listening to music, but there's more to listen to than just the musical. There's a rich, wide world out there waiting to be heard and enjoyed and critiqued and learned from. And what better way to do it than with a collection of peers who have all chosen to listen with you and offer and reflect back to you what they hear and listen to what you have heard.
I think.
And that's kind of the point of the sound art that you're making also. Is that correct?
I think that's probably true for both Jeremiah and myself. This is Aaron Sim, and I do a project called QuietAmerican.org, which is about listening and recording and working with ambient sound. And so plenty of stuff up on my website, too, to listen to.
This is true. If you haven't taken part in the experience of sound walking, it's kind of remarkable to go with a group of strangers. So the practice of sound walking is essentially, there are different ways of organizing a sound walk, but a typical one is to have a group that walks together and in silence listening. And it's kind of a profound experience. And, to be with perhaps friends or strangers in a public space, not talking to one another, and instead being in an active, receptive mode. And I think our society can really use that mode, and it seems like a wonderful thing to support and promote. So that's what we're doing with Bay Area Sound Ecology, trying to promote social experiences around listening. And I was going to see if Aaron wants to talk about his sound walk series. You're doing, when is it, last Sunday of the month?
Yeah, generally all year, sort of as a continuation of a project that I did at the Headland Center for the Arts last fall, I'm doing a series of sound walks through the Rodeo Valley, in particular up the Marinchello Trail, or as it's known today, the Miwok Trail. And it's a guided audio tour or listening experience, listening to an invisible city, speaking of phantoms. There was almost a 30,000-person planned community built in that first valley north of the Golden Gate Bridge, which, if you've been up there recently, is blessedly devoid of a 30,000-person planned community. It is instead bare hills populated by red-tailed hawks and coyotes and kestrels and wild turkeys and the like. And
Red-winged blackbirds
in profusion. Salamanders. And
I saw a coyote yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
Running around right out there.
It's one of the joys of being up at the Headland Center for the Arts overnight is when you come out of your studio into the pitch black. It is pitch black, and you just see nothing but unlit hills all around you. On occasion, you hear the coyotes howling from ridgetop to ridgetop. And it's not an experience that you, in many parts of this country, get to have a mere, bike ride away from like a urban density, and it's really a magical place. And so I'm doing these sound walks at the end of every month that go up through the Rodeo Valley and consider what almost was there and how it almost would have sounded. And information on that is usually posted on my Quiet American page at Facebook. But as Jeremiah said, by default, those walks take place on the last Sunday of every month, usually during the day. The next one I might do in the evening. I think the park's officially closed, but I've been wanting to do it at night. And the trail is quite accessible to hikers of all ability. In fact, I pushed my daughter's stroller up it more than once to give you an idea that it's a slog, but it's manageable. And the vista from the top, if you've never seen it, is worth the price of admission, which in fact is free. Although to fully participate in my sound walks, ideally you'd have a copy of the book that I produced that sort of documents what was almost in that valley.
As a person who's participated in the sound walk, I think the book is that Aaron's talking about is a it's a great way of leading you into get the book.
which you can get by the way at lulu.com, lulu.com as a self-publisher, and if you just search for Marin Cello, that's like Marin County with cello at the end. Marin Cello is the name of the development. If you search for that, the name of the book is Marin Cello Unsound Walk. But if you let me know, if you RSVP on the Facebook page, I always bring enough copies for people too.
All right, I think that's about it. So
there's one other thing we should close with, which is simply to say how grateful we are to Mediate and everyone who's been helping us there, and to Yerba Buena Gardens for allowing us to do this event there. It's not the kind of thing that they normally host, and I know that a lot of work took place on both sides to make sure that this could happen. And as I think we discussed, it was our first choice of location for this event, and so it's a real delight to be able to work there, and a real delight to be able to participate in the Soundwave Festival, which I think it sort of goes, I think it's uncontroversial to say that it's kind of the cutting edge and shining light of what's going on in sound in the Bay Area these days. It's definitely where the momentum is, not in no small part thanks to the efforts of Mediate's founder, Alan So. So it's a great, enjoyed the festival in the past, and it's really wonderful now to be a part of it.
And the festival website is projectsoundwave.com. You can get more info on it there.
That's right.
Bay Area Sound Ecology is doing their event this Sunday, the 13th at 7 p.m. at Yerba Buena Gardens. It's called Phantom Power. And Bay Area Sound Ecology's website is basoundecology.org. Thanks for being on the air.
All right, thanks. And I was at your performance last night up at Battery Townsley, the opening night of the Project Soundwave Green Sound Festival, and it was great. It was a wonderful evening.
Thank you. It was. Well, thanks for being on the air.
Thank you.